nobody works harder, nobody loves sports and is more passionate about it than this guy, John Alcorn. So thank
you. My man, keep up the good work, man. I like your style.
I don't know if I've seen someone with the drive and passion to make it in the industry like I've seen with you. Cutthroat, it's very, you know, up and down roller coaster of emotion.
He knows his stuff. You know, he's not afraid to go at people.
Well, last time I checked, this is not the Los Angeles LeBron.
It is about time that we are back here, folks. I know that I kind of said next year, May or June, and that was kind of the case, and really trying to figure out what the official work schedule would be for both things, and the other will announce at a later time. But thank y'all for the understanding. Communication has been kind of up and down here on the God of Run Entertainment Network, my Facebook page, and all our social media. So we're going to do one episode a week. It could be on a Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Monday. It just really depends on what day that I'm really more available or how I kind of feel, if I'm tired or not. But the whole point of this episode is going to be the Thursday Night Football preview, the Power Rankings, the NFL Sunday preview show, all in one episode here on the John Alcorn Show, of course, on the God of Money Entertainment Network. Glad to be back though, but folks, we will see you in just a second. But man, Christian Wilson says thank you for that. Christian, it definitely means, like I said, the support definitely, folks, does mean a lot. But without further ado, let's get into today's first topic though. Thursday Night Football, a NFC West matchup. Obviously, the first past couple weeks in what we could so call in Thursday Night Football, which has been very boring, maybe been a nightmare. You had the Giants of the Washington football team, and then you had a couple other teams that was definitely very interesting. We finally have two teams who are not just contending for a wild card spot or the last wild card spot in the NFC. They're contending for the division, and they're contending for the NFC division round. They're contending for the NFC championship game, and they're potentially Super Bowl contenders of what we're considering right now. Really, I believe, heading into week 5 of the 2021 season. Thursday Night Football is the Los Angeles Rams versus the Seattle Seahawks. Now, obviously, we know what happened last week. The Cardinals really just demolished the Los Angeles Rams, or really, they embarrassed the Los Angeles Rams, which I think can really be a shocker. I don't think a lot of us that are true football fans never doubt a town of Kyler Murray, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, James Conner, and, of course, Chase Edmonds, one of the running backs for the Cardinals. Not doubting that. It's just a surprise, though, that I picked the Rams to beat the Cardinals, and I was wrong. But, folks, you look at this matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. You talk about it from both sides here. We always criticize, and we'll talk about from the Rams' defensive point of view, but also the Seattle Seahawks' offense and offensive line point of view. The fact of the matter is that we're going to continue to criticize Seattle, and rightfully so. Their offensive line play is a joke. What do you think Aaron Donald or Jalen Ramsey or any defensive member for the Los Angeles Rams is going to do in this football game? Even go against the offensive weapons for the Rams, DeSean Jackson, so at 34 years old, he's still getting it done. He still hasn't lost much of a step. And most NFL fans know about DeSean Jackson. We know what he is. That's what Brandon. Sorry, you have Cooper Kupp. You got Robert Woods, Matthew Stafford, Sony Michel. That whole offense. But before I kind of like break it down more, I'm picking the Los Angeles Rams tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football to beat the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know how truly and genuinely, folks, this can really be a shocker. I know we have our fan favorites, set aside the emotions and all the outbreaks or the heartbreaks here. If you look at the Rams' point of view, they're obviously their Super Bowl window is the next 2 to 3 years. You have Matthew Stafford. Just look at it on paper, and not just on paper, in person, it has to be as a good result. Offensive line. Quarterback can be Kyle. A little bit of 50-50. Running back. Receiver. Tight end. Defensive tackle. Defensive lineman. Cornerback. Jalen Ramsey, the best corner in the NFL right now. And I don't think, folks, there's a debate about that. What forefront for the Seattle Seahawks offense is going to somehow outplay the Rams? You're like, well, Joe, look what the Cardinals did last week in Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. I get that. Kyler Murray is a little bit, I don't know, we can have the whole conversation another day. I just don't see Seattle having a similar result against the Los Angeles Rams as the Arizona Cardinals did this past weekend on Sunday Football against the Los Angeles Rams. Breaking it apart, really, for Seattle, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, it's the stories we've heard before. The fact of the matter is, though, folks, as much as their offense can do a lot, who's on their defense? I'll just give you all that pressure point there. Who is on their defense? We'll wait and just relax. Jamal Adams. So DeSean Jackson can do what he did 2 weeks ago. Who on that defense besides Jamal Adams is going to do anything? Seattle doesn't have any corners. Seattle doesn't have any defensive backs. They will have nobody on that defense besides Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams can't do everything. Just like you can't do everything in a marriage, relationship, or school. You can't rely on one specific person to do all the work or the work for you. Why are we surprised by that? So I'm picking the Los Angeles Rams to beat the Seattle Seahawks, number one. And number two, Matthew Stafford is going to have a day. This not just this game, but we know the NFC West is going to be a huge challenge this year, obviously, in most teams in that division besides maybe the Niners. Obviously, the Jimmy Garoppolo injury, you bring in your quarterback who drafted third overall, Trey Lance. Most of those teams are considering for a huge playoff spot. But we will be right back here in just 30 seconds. Looking at it here, we talked about Thursday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams against the Seattle Seahawks. Even if you break it down to the final couple parts here, the running game, even if like Chris Carson somehow gets it down on the ground, if he can stay healthy, maybe Sony Michel isn't going to be that type of running back who's going to give you 12, 13, 14 attempts for 127 yards. He's going to be the guy that's an extra offensive lineman. He's going to be the guy to help protect and block for Matthew Stafford. And that's the beautiful thing about this trade that the Rams did with the New England Patriots. Another New England Patriots trade today. But just from all aspects, Michelle, Stafford, Cooper Kupp, all those weapons, there is no doubt in my mind that the Los Angeles Rams are going to beat the Seattle Seahawks in this game here. Going to NFL Sunday football here, Sunday, October 10th, you have, oh boy. This one is laughable. I know this game was going to happen. We've kind of a little bit talked about this before when the schedule came out, but I'm going to break it down even more after, of course, there's been a couple weeks in the NFL season. Things have happened. Jets got their first win last week against the Tennessee Titans, who, ironically, the Tennessee Titans the week before beat Seattle Seahawks in overtime. Through the first three games of Zach Wilson's rookie year, he had a worse three-game start than Josh Rosen's rookie year in 2018, and Zach Wilson had better weapons on the offense and a little bit better defense. Maybe I'll see Chandler Jones, but hold on the conversation. The point is the New York Jets are facing off against the Atlanta Falcons. Is there really a whole lot to say? Falcons are winning this game. I know last week you say a fluke or they're building on the momentum. When's the last time the New York Jets ever built on that momentum? Go back to 2015. We were nearly almost made the playoffs. This Patrick gets his 1 year, $12-plus million contract. In the first 1 or 2 games in 2016, he throws, what, 6-plus interceptions? So 5 to 6 interceptions, I believe, in 1 to 2 football games. Obviously, both teams, we know, if we're being genuinely honest here, regardless if you're a fandom, neither of these teams are making the playoffs. So what's their ultimate goal? Because we know, talked about Atlanta sending mixed messages, playoffs, contention, or rebuilding. You reconstruct Matt Ryan's contract. You trade a couple of your players this past offseason. I just don't see how, like, moving forward, like, what is the ultimate goal? Like, you look at it from the Jets' point of view. You're just trying to get as many wins and experience and and learn a lot that you can on and off the field. But from the Falcons' point of view is if you win this game, even if you do, you're giving yourself false hope. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to the fans. Even when the Falcons beat the Jets this Sunday, which I don't know how that's even an option. Of course, the Atlanta Falcons are beating the New York Jets this Sunday. What is the goal for the Falcons moving forward? You got Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan's, yes, quarterback age is getting a little bit older. His production in terms of numbers is still there, but they're reconstructing his contract. So they're really sure for him for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. I don't know, but I'm easily going to pick the Atlanta Falcons to win this football game. Kyle Pitts, Matt Ryan versus Zach Wilson. And if Corey Davis can stay healthy. This next game here, we have an NFC North matchup between the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think I'm going to surprise Stephen Wang on this, or maybe I may shock him. He may be texting or coming in or trying to, I can't believe you picked this team. How dare you? I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings to win this game. I don't know, like, I can't remember a time in the past 5 to 10-plus years where an organization has been booed and literally hated by fans when the owner of the Ford, one of the owners and the Ford family, again, one of the owners of the Detroit Lions, comes into the stadium. I guess it has like a little ceremony for like Megatron, or I forgot exactly what the situation was. Every single Detroit Lions fan is booing the Ford family. And rightfully so. This isn't just frustration after 1 or 2 games. Because, like you said, you've been literally you ruined. You ended Barry Sanders' career early. Okay. Maybe that's a coincidence. Who knows? Oh, no. You had Megatron, almost 12,000 yards in 9 seasons. Nearly had 2,000 yards in 2013, I believe. 1,978. Ruined his career. He ends it early. You already ruined 2 careers. Your fans hate you. It's not just, oh, we hate that you lose a couple of football games here and they're losing football games. Okay, we can deal with that. But you intentionally do stupid things and lie to your fans. You lie especially to your quarterback. You lie to the organization. Lie to everybody. You can say whatever you want about Dan Campbell. There's how I pronounce his name wrong, but whatever. The fact of the matter is Detroit has no chance in this game. Detroit is going to beat Detroit until the Ford family sells the organization. And the fact of the matter is, they're not going to. And why would you? You're making a ton of money. Fans are pissed. And rightfully so. When the Detroit Lions lose against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, I would hate to be either a Lions fan or the Ford family. No fans like you in terms of your ownership. I don't know you as a person. But nobody... Fan, longtime fan, dedicated Detroit Lions fan, never met one. Obviously, they exist. No respect for the Ford family. Another embarrassing loss for the Detroit Lions this NFL, 2021 NFL regular season. The next game, though, you have the New Orleans Saints facing off against the Washington football team. Based on what happened last week, the Giants, I believe, folks, beat the Saints. How? What did the Giants do in that game besides, well, maybe kind of expose like Jameis Winston, or he's inconsistent 30 for 30. This has been a problem with Jameis Winston for a while. You can say the LASIK surgery or not, but it's still been kind of proven up until this point. Now, that Jameis Winston will have a game or two, looks phenomenal. 100 or 200 plus passing yards, 2 to 3 plus touchdowns. Then he has a game like he did a week or two ago. And you lose against the Giants. So I kind of question this game for the Saints. And like, obviously, Washington football team's defense, I believe 2 weeks ago, got demolished, got spanked, got embarrassed against, of course, the Buffalo Bills. This past week, Washington's quarterback, Tyler Heinicke, who was in the XFL 2 years ago and sleeping on their family member's couch, got the game-winning drive for them this past week. So you look at it from Washington's point of view, where the fans, you had a game-winning drive last week. The Saints lose against the Giants. Whose favor is it in? The Washington football team. You're in the NFC East. You have some, maybe not like pressure, but you're favored to win this football game, in my opinion. I mean, I just don't understand how the Washington football team could lose this game. I know that Jameis Winston could have one of those 300-yard pass games, 2 to 3 touchdowns, all these different things, but that's up and down. That's up and down. And you're not going to get consistency with Jameis Winston. I don't know why that people keep thinking otherwise. I'm thinking Washington football team to win this game. There's more fight in Tyler Heinicke. There's more fight in this offense. There's more fight in this defense. Defensive-wise, they're pretty good on paper. Defensive-wise on the field, they're very, very talented. But I'm picking the Washington football team to win this game. Quarterback play, in terms of longevity, they're both really not that great. One was in the XFL 2 to 2.5 years ago. So it's Jameis Winston, who got, of course, replaced by Tom Brady, rightfully so, won a Super Bowl this past season. I just don't see these two quarterbacks, I'm not sure how they're going to win you the game. McLaurin in that defense is going to win this game for the Washington football team versus New Orleans Saints. I feel bad for the Saints just because you're also in that same division with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And speaking of that, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers facing off against the Miami Dolphins. If you're I don't mean to laugh, but I'm going to be honest. If you're a Dolphins fan, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. Tua injuries, and maybe when he comes back, he's still not consistent. There's going to be excuses for him, or they're lying to Tua. Tua was never going to be the guy. He's just not an NFL quarterback. It's not about being ready or not having enough reps. You could have 4,000 reps with the same players in a practice or in a practice within a couple of weeks. But if you're not it, and if you're not the guy, it doesn't matter how much practice you get. Not every quarterback is fit for the same organization they get drafted by. It happened so many times in the NFL. It's happened in the NBA with small forward centers all over the place. But despite all of what I said about Miami and their woes on offense, a little bit on defense, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's no debate about that. Green Bay Packers face off against the Bengals. It is going to be the Green Bay Packers. There shouldn't be any debate or anything of that sorts here, folks. Oh, boy. Denver Broncos face off against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What I said last week, the Broncos had to beat Ravens. And what do the Broncos do? They don't beat the Ravens. They can only score 7 points. Now, again, you said Teddy Bridgewater getting hurt. That is definitely a factor on that one. It's unfortunate. But now the Broncos face off against the Steelers this week. Each game, Vic Fangio is going to be criticized. Vic Fangio is on the hot seat. You lose against the Ravens, especially if, which I believe my Broncos would beat the Steelers in a close game. Keyword, I'll say this again. I believe in my football heart the Denver Broncos will win a close game versus the Steelers. But if somehow they lose against the Steelers, That's in the story. You start off 3-0. You beat the Jets, Giants, and I forgot whoever else. You beat the Jaguars. You beat those three teams who are going to continue for the playoffs. And another situation and with another NFL team and the head coach. We won't talk about that here on the day. Broncos have to beat the Steelers. You go 3-2. Teddy Bridgewater, is he 100% healthy? You have the defense, the running game, but don't have the quarterback to be the game manager for the Denver Broncos. It's just going to be a lot. But I'm obviously going to pick the Denver Broncos to win this football game. You have the Eagles and the Panthers. Jalen Hurts and his numbers. Sam Darnold, what happened with the Panthers last week when they lost. Not just lost, demolished against the Dallas Cowboys. And folks, you can go back on that program. It's on my Facebook page, John Horn. I picked the Cowboys to beat the Panthers. So no, I'm not making things up. No, I'm not being a bandwagon or anything of the sorts. I picked the Cowboys to win that football game. But now the Panthers this week face off against the Eagles. Defensive-wise, it's the Panthers. We could talk about those comparisons either. What part of Jalen Hurts are we going to get? First half or second half? Who is more hungry? Matt Rhule. Which younger coach is more hungry to win this football game? Even if so, both teams are kind of in iffy situations, but Eagles are in the NFC least. So even if they lose this football game, they still got a ton of more 10-plus games to play in the season. While the Panthers, each loss for the Panthers is more critical than each loss is for the Eagles. The Panthers are in the same division as the Saints, and the Panthers and the Saints are in the same division as the Bucs. They just beat the New England Patriots this past week, 19-17. Rough weather, didn't play well, but again, won the game at or his old home. But frankly, folks, in this game, maybe I'll be surprised. But I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles this week to beat the Carolina Panthers. I know what Sam Darnold and this team has done. But the problem is, like the announcers are saying during the football game, so far, unless this past game against the Dallas Cowboys, the Panthers in week one, week two, week three, in the first three games, have not played from behind. So if they're a team that can only play well playing ahead and struggle when they're down 5 to 10-plus points, that's not a team that's going to have a way to call a successful season or make the playoffs or really do any of those things. So that's why, one of many reasons, I picked the Philadelphia Eagles to win this football game. Tennessee versus Jacksonville. I'm picking the Titans. We'll move forward. The Cleveland Browns versus the Los Angeles Chargers. I am concerned, very concerned about Baker's shoulder injury. It was, 11 to 14 points last week. Is Baker's shoulder going to be healthy? We've seen this with different quarterbacks. When the shoulder isn't good, they don't just instantly recover. It takes time. And the Browns folks don't really have any time. I can't believe I'm saying this, and Trevor, if you're watching or listening, maybe we'll say this pick on No BS tonight, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. Pacific. I'm picking the Chargers this week to beat the Browns. Justin Herbert is phenomenal. He's proved me wrong. Beat the Raiders. You beat the Chiefs, not just beat the Chiefs, you beat the Chiefs at home at Arrowhead Stadium. Justin Herbert having a phenomenal year, easily very accurate, evenly distributing the football. The running tech this past week, 13-plus carries for over 100 yards and 1-2 touchdowns, averaging over 4.2 yards per carry. There's really nothing else to say. I'm picking the Chargers to beat the Browns. There's more questions than answers at the quarterback position right now, not in terms of is Baker the guy necessarily right now, but in terms of what type of Baker are you going to get with the shoulder injury. Folks, it's Chicago Bears versus Las Vegas Raiders. I understand, oh, it's the Lions. Matt Nagy didn't do any of the offensive play calling. If Matt Nagy does what he did last week in terms of not doing any offensive play calling, I'm picking the Chicago Bears. Because we've seen this story with the Raiders last year, the year before, maybe a little bit the year before. I know a defending car, I'm not talking about in terms of his numbers, where they start off good. They look like a playoff team, and the Raiders, the Raiders, the Raiders. And then, well, the Raiders completely crumble. And this is really what we're going to start to see with the Las Vegas Raiders this season, is when a must playoff appearing team with a coach where if they don't make the playoffs this year, oh boy, 2022 is going to be very uncomfortable for the Las Vegas Raiders with Derek Carr, Gruden, and maybe the whole organization. But frankly, if Matt Nagy doesn't call any of the offensive plays, I'm picking the Chicago Bears. I mean, well, the Raiders in the first half against the Chargers didn't score any points. If you can't score any points in the first half against the Chargers, what are you going to do against Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, and if, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, folks, if Roquan Smith is healthy, what are they going to do? Is Derek Carr going to throw a brick? That's why maybe I'm shocking people with my pick, but I'm picking the Chicago Bears to beat the Raiders only if Matt Nagy doesn't do any of the offensive play calling. I know you can see last week he was against the Lions, but I'm sorry, Matt Nagy has to go. But please, oh, please do not let Matt and Nagy do any of the offensive play calling. San Francisco 49ers against the Arizona Cardinals, folks. Look what happened against last week. I guess when the Cardinals faced off against the Rams, I mean, my goodness, Kyler Murray went off. Are we that surprised? Look what happened last year. Look what happened the year before his rookie year. 9 touchdowns, 4 picks. Kyler Murray, the only thing I'm concerned about is his turnovers. The last 3 games, he's 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Despite his playmaking with his legs and getting the ball down the field, he went from week 2 going to 400 passing yards to 316 to 268. That's not as much of a concern if you weren't turning the ball over. But with Kyler Murray turning over the football, he has 3 interceptions in the last 3 games. 5 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. So that's really going to be a huge concern. With that being said, though, we can go back to last year. What Kyler Murray did against the 49ers, I mean, look at that. A couple of the running highlights Kyler Murray had. I'm going to pick the Arizona Cardinals to beat the San Francisco 49ers. And if you go back to 2020, what happened when Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals faced off against the San Francisco 49ers? Week 1, 26-40, 230, 1 TD, 1 pick. Wasn't that great overall, but he had 65 completion percentage, 230 yards, nearly 4,000 yards last year. That is neither here nor there. The Cardinals are winning this football game, folks. Isaiah, everybody else out there, I'm sorry. For this next one, though, I can't believe I'm saying this. I mean, it's not a surprise, but just saying it back to back to back. 3 weeks in a row. Just wait for this. I'm picking the Dallas Cowboys to beat the New York Giants. Next game here, last game of Sunday Night Football before we end today's quick program. I just kind of want to do another program. We're going to try and do this next Friday. Yes, next Friday we're going to do a program here. It's going to be a full-length hour, hour and a half of NFL Sunday Football, Week 6, Thursday Night Football preview, Monday Night Football post-game show. All that will be condensed into one show. This is one of the, just the first of many. We're going to do these once a week. So we're going to cover this last game here on NFL Sunday Night Football, Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be a classic. That's going to be something that's going to be fun to watch. We know what happened last week with a certain team. But for the Chiefs side of this, I mean, the worst thing any team could do is when the next week when the opponent plays the Chiefs, given the Chiefs, the worst thing you do is give the Chiefs any momentum. I know we say this about any team, but especially the Chiefs. No matter when the chips are down, no matter what it looks like. Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense always gets it done. Which is why maybe I'm kind of fumbling with this pick. But if I'm being honest, maybe I will be crazy for saying this. I will be happy to be wrong about this pick. But I'm picking the Buffalo Bills to win by 2 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I know he can't beat against Patrick Mahomes, but it's the Chiefs. The Raiders lost this week. Hopefully the Chargers lose this week. I'm more than happy to be wrong about Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders winning. That's a happy Sunday, folks. Here again, before we go, we're going to today's prayer break. We're going to kind of do the show a little bit different from now on the God Over Money Entertainment Network. The John Hopkins Show is we're going to start up with the topics, but near the end or halfway towards each program, once a week, will be next Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll do all 7 shows in one huge episode, but halfway or towards the end of each program, we'll always do the prayer break, the Bible verse, and Jesus and God's story. Always bringing it back to God's word. Without further ado, let's go into tonight's prayer break. Oh, I don't know what these people have gone through. I hope that this type of content can either inspire somebody out there that no matter what, or you faithful. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, amen. Today's little Jesus and God story, we have our Bible verse of the day. We're going to get that put up here in just a second. Give me just a moment, folks, is Romans 10:17. This is something I'm working on. I'm not going to be talking about, why this is so easy for me. It's not. I am a sinful human being like anybody out there. I'm not perfect. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. The point is, though, despite, and I know this sounds so cliche, but I want to make this more fun or easier to understand. Despite what it looks like with whatever y'all are going with, anybody out there is going through, I know it's not easy. I know there are times that you want to quit. But I promise, I urge you to call out to God. He's never given up on you, and he'll never give up, and he has a plan for your life. But I say this Jesus and God story. I came up here about a year and a half, or let's say almost 2 years ago now. A crazy faith list started January 2020 when I started listening to the pastor Michael Todd out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, with Transformation Church when he had his series on crazy faith back in 2019. Basically, if you can kind of see this right here, I really hope this inspires people. Again, I know that everybody is going to be in the sports world. I get all of that. But the point is the podcast will be monetized. We get sponsors for the podcast. We'll be able to go to my first Super Bowl. Be able to pay all my parents' bills and vacations. And God will use me through the sports world to spread his word and love. We'll be working for the Denver Broncos one day. The whole point of really sharing that is going back to the verse. So faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. The word of Christ all tells you, believe not what you see, but believe in the one that created you. God put this on my heart. And I promise y'all, one day, this is going to be a good story. And I hope this truly inspires somebody. This inspires somebody because it's not about me. I'm not ever going to make it about me. It's about bringing glory to God and all of those things. Well, without further ado, I'll be doing every single program here on the network. We're going to go into tonight's final thoughts. Good folks, thank you for the support on this one. I know this is last minute of communication of, episode today or tomorrow or next year. What's going to happen is this episode, of course, today was on Wednesday. This is just a short version, but we're going to try and do an episode once a week. When we do the Monday Night Football post-game show, Thursday Night Football preview show, Sunday Morning Football preview show, all those episodes are going to be combined into one video once a week. This week is a short version on Wednesday. Next week, it'll be next Friday. Don't hold me on the date or the time. Most likely it'll be next Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure you get the episode once a week. It's been a while. Got some announcements coming. Things are in the works. I want to truly thank you all so much for the support on everything y'all supported me on. Of course, the some podcasts that are projects that are pretty much being thrown in the dumpsters. We had a podcast coming up called the Final Adventure Podcast. But despite all that, the Goofy Goober Podcast, which I will not play the trailer because we know with YouTube, and I get it, is coming sometime in 2022. Despite all my rambling, we're getting better. Thank you all so much for the support. I'll see you next time.
Nobody works harder. Nobody loves sports and is more passionate about it than this guy, John Alcorn. So, thank
you. Man, keep up the good work, man. I like your style.
I don't know if I've seen someone with the drive and passion to make it in the industry like I've seen with you. Cutthroat. It's very, you know, up and down roller coaster of emotion.
He knows his stuff. He's not afraid to go at people.
Well, last time I checked, this is not the Los Angeles LeBron.